Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 24. Job chapter 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days? Some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way, the poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains, and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast, and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make oil within their walls, and tread their wine presses, and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is sure of life. Though it be given him to be in safety, whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. This is a very interesting response. You remember that it was Eliphaz who spoke in chapter 22. As we read chapter 23, Job began the first part of his defense against Eliphaz's last speech, and then this is the second part of that defense. The first part of that defense was, you've told me to cry out to the Lord, and what do you think I've been doing? That's what I would do. It's what I have been doing, and he doesn't hear me. And then, in the second part of his defense, he takes up the accusations that they have made against him, and he turns them and describes them as somewhat common. That there are men that do all the things that they have accused Job of doing, and yet they live on. They're brought to the grave just like other men. They're not exalted. They're not debased. There are men that live in the earth that they do what? Well, they do everything that they've been accusing Job of doing in the first section, that is. They deprive the poor. They abuse the widow. They take a pledge from the poor and they don't return it. you remember that you were not to take a pledge of clothing from the poor man because that's what he's supposed to sleep in. You don't take that from him. And so all these things that they've accused Job of doing, Job says, well, there's a class of men that do that, and they go sweetly to the grave. This is Job's version of Psalm 73. There are those who, well, there's no bands in their death. You remember what the psalmist said upon watching that the wicked are not judged in this life, that they go sometimes very sweetly to the grave. He said, what? Well, I said, if I should think like this, I should offend. There's no bands in their death. They're doing fine. And so Job turns that argument upon Eliphaz, his accuser. He says, all the things that you have accused me of, and you say, the reason you know that I've done this is because I am so sorely afflicted. Let me tell you something. There are people that do this every day and are not afflicted like I'm afflicted here. You cannot reason from my affliction to my sin. That is not an unbroken line. You cannot read providence like that. You cannot call me into judgment simply because the Lord has chosen to afflict me. You cannot accuse me of some secret sin that I have not committed. You cannot reason from my affliction to my sin. And we've seen this argument over and again, but Job now begins to press this argument. And then after he picks off the accusations with which they have accused him, he goes on to greater accusations than that. He goes on to murder and to adultery. And he says, you know, murderers, they go to the grave sweetly. Adulterers do the same. They go to the grave sweetly. They will be brought into judgment, yes, but perhaps not in this life. That's Job's argument. And so don't reason, he says, from the effects back to the cause. And then he declares that they die like others, and he challenges his oppressors to refute his words. While they have declared that Job must be wicked and a hypocrite because of his suffering, he shows here how wicked men often in this life are free of suffering, although they oppress. That's the gist of the chapter. That's the sum and substance of the chapter. So uses. We cannot read providence and reason to righteousness or to wickedness. Is that right? If riches mean righteousness, then Bill Gates is a righteous man. But we know better. We know he's not a believer. Or we believe he's not a believer. If wickedness is a sign of God's judgment, then what of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered beyond men? What of his wickedness? No such thing. We do not reason from one to the other. Not in that way. So we must not, as the wicked do, place their hope and security in this life. When wicked folk are let alone, when God does not judge them, what does that do? That emboldens them. And they put more trust in what they're doing. More trust in oppression. We must never do so. One of the worst things that can happen to us is that the Lord does not chastise us for our sins. And we become emboldened in our practice. And then the prosperity of the wicked is short. Even if it lasts the duration of this earthly life, it is still relatively short. And we must remember that these earthly days are but a very small part of our existence. Let us then think of the next life and order our lives before God in such a way so as to, as he says in Luke chapter 16, to make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, to make a good and godly use of everything that the Lord brings into our hands. The wicked make an ungodly use of such things. Let us make a worthy and godly use of all the blessings that God gives us so that we may not be like those who at the end of their days go down perhaps sweetly to the grave, and yet they go down trusting in their riches, trusting in their means. All right, let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalters, please, to Psalm 71. verses 1 through 10,